Well, you all are looking really, really great this morning. Good to see you. And by the way, it may have looked to you like all the seats were full up here. Well, number one, they weren't. But number two, even if they were, there's still room for you because we've got choir chairs spread throughout this building that we could be using up here. And we just start more rows is what we do. And my understanding that at some time past, Big Spring had 80 members in the choir. So there is a plan. So if you had the inkling of an idea that, hey, I could do that, like Brother Tom said, and I want to be a part of the choir, there's room for you. And I want you to know that. Well, we're going to continue in this series that we started last Sunday, Getting a Grip on Your Personal Life. And this morning, it's about what do you think? And what we said last Sunday is that we want to kind of get our act together this winter, you know? And even today, it seems like the sun is shining brighter. I believe it is shining brighter. Right here in the middle of winter, and we're going to get our act together. Today, we're going to look at what do you think, how to stay mentally fit. And a couple of verses there, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 20. In your thinking, be adults, be mature. And then that second verse there, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. So roll up your sleeves, put your mind in gear. Put your mind in gear. Literally, that means to gird up your mind. It's kind of like the picture of a Roman soldier getting ready for battle. That Roman soldier just tightens up his belt and he prepares for battle. He's talking about being mentally fit. No, God has given us awesome minds. He's given you an awesome brain. Did you know that your brain can store 100 trillion facts? And yet most of us, myself included, we only use about 10,000 thoughts a day. And that's about 3.5 million a year. And we only use about 10% of the mind that God has given us. Your mind, my mind, our minds is a special gift. Our minds are a special gift from God. So this morning, how do you use it? How do you stay fit mentally? How do you stay fit in, intellectually so that you're alert and you're bright all of your life and you make the most of your mind, that gift, that precious gift that God has given every single one of us? First thing I want you to write in, by the way, there's outlines in the bulletin of this message today, and we're going to give, there's some blanks. You'll say, well, I don't want to fill in the blanks. I don't know if I know the answers. Well, we'll give you the answers as we go along so you can fill that in. But first thing I want you to write in is pay attention to your thoughts. If you're going to know what you think and be fit mentally, you and I, we need to pay attention to our thoughts. Be choosy what you choose, what you let come into your mind, what you let come into your thoughts. Control what you allow there. Be selective. Don't just allow anything and everything to filter into your mind. And a lot of us, what someone has called what we call a freeway mind. You know, it just, everything just goes right through it. A book, an idea, no thought as to whether I can use that, whether it's good or whether it's bad. And so, you know, advertisers know that. Advertisers compete for your attention. Whether you know that or not, whether you realize it or not, advertisers are trying to get your attention. And like they say in the computer industry, and you've said this, you've heard it over and over again, garbage in, garbage out. And that's so true. What you put into your mind is what is going to come out of your life. And the Bible says in Proverbs, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And then this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. Pay attention to your thoughts. It says, take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And if I'm going to do that, I've got to pay attention. I've got to be disciplined in the way that I think. Now, I want us to think this morning about four types of information, basically, that we can allow into our mind. The first type of information is what I would call pollution, evil. Pollution is stuff like pornography, the arguments of the occult, trashy novels, things that blaspheme God, anything that is bad for your mind. And Paul says it like this in Romans chapter 16 and verse 19. I want you to be wise concerning that which is good, but I want you to be innocent concerning evil. Not to know evil by experience, but to know it by the word of God. In Psalm 101 verse 3, David said, I will set before my eyes no vile thing. David made this promise to God, and he made this promise to himself. David promised, I'm not going to look at anything that is unhealthy for me. I'm not going to look at anything that is bad for me. And a lot of us need that on our television sets. A lot of you need that on your television. I read that the television is now on in the average American home 6 hours and 47 minutes a day. And if you're an average American, that means you watch 1,400 hours of television a year. And that means that by the time you reach age 65, you will have amassed 9 solid years of TV viewing. And it is to the point where no longer do we as parents teach values. It's taught by the television. 9.5 solid years of TV viewing. But, you know, I kind of thought about what would that be like if you attended Sunday school or some type of a small group Bible study for an hour every week. If you compare that to television, if you attended Sunday school every week from the time you were born to the time you're 65 years old, that would only equal 4.5 months of Bible teaching. Compared to 9.5 years of watching television. So pollution, evil is the first thing that we can put into our mind if we choose to, if we're not filtering what's coming in. The second thing is filling, what I call just filling. It's that stuff that's inside that donut. No, it's stuff. It's neither good nor bad. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23, all things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Paul is saying that some things are not necessarily wrong. It's just that some things are not necessary. A lot of books, a lot of movies, a lot of television shows. It's just filling. They're not harmful. They're just there. And then the third type of information I want to put this in my mind are building materials. Building materials. These are things that inspire you. These are things that teach you, that help you grow, that teach you skill, that make you a better person. And Paul says it like this in Philippians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. He talks about things that are true and just and honest. Think on these things. Things that build you up rather than tear you down. And then the fourth type of information, and this is what I really want to get into my mind, it's the scriptures. It's the word of God. David said in Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. It keeps us on the right track. Another promise of God about the scriptures is in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. That it is that promise of success. And Joshua says, if you'll do one thing, God says to Joshua, he says, if you'll do one thing, you will prosper. You'll be prosperous and you'll be successful if you will meditate on the Word of God, if you will memorize the Word of God, if you will study the Word of God, fill your mind with the Word of God, you will be prosperous. You will be successful. Now you have to realize that you and I have to decide what we're going to filter into our minds. What are we going to fill our minds with? Because it's going to come out in your life. How much will you allow on television? Let me ask you this question. How much will you allow on a television show, a movie, before you change the channel, before you pick up that remote and change the channel? At what point do you become righteously indignant and get up and say, I've had enough, and you turn the channel? Or you do something else. Some people would never turn the channel. Maybe some of you here this morning, you wouldn't change the channel for any reason. Doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what the scene is. You just never change it. And you're allowing that to get into your mind. Pay attention to what is filtering into your mind. Second thing is never stop growing your mind. Never stop growing your mind. If you want to be mentally fit for the rest of your life, never stop growing your mind. Do, you know, I remember back when I graduated from high school, and then when I graduated from college, I was a little different when I graduated from college, but when I graduated from high school, maybe some of you are like this, you remember back, you know, you walk across the stage, you grab your diploma, you walk off the stage, you throw your hat away, and you think, I've completed my education. You know, it's over with. Little did I know. You know, learning is a lifelong process. You know, it is something that you never complete. It is an ongoing thing. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 8. He who gets wisdom loves his soul. And so if you're continually growing and you're continually learning and developing and you're doing the best you can for yourself, you love yourself. That's proof of it. The fact that you want to learn means that you love your own soul. And the problem is, if you're not learning, you're not living. Scientists say that about the time we hit the mid-30s, we stop acquiring new skills. When was the last time you acquired or learned a new skill? When was the last time you learned a new truth? When was the last time you thought a new thought or developed a new attitude? It's sad to see people stop thinking 10 or 15 years ago. They become a vegetable and they start growing duller and duller, and never, never stop growing your mind. It's a special gift from God. And so you might be asking the question now, what does that have to do with living the Christian life? What does that have to do with being a Christian? Well, a Christian's a disciple. And that means that you're a learner. And that you're to learn from the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're to learn from His people. It is a lifelong learning process. And and Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And so keep growing your mind. Now, if you're going to stay mentally sharp for the rest of your life, let me give you three vital attitudes. Three attitudes that you've got to have if you're going to have that lifelong learning process. Number one, you need the attitude of openness. Proverbs 18:15 says, the intelligent man is always open to new ideas. In fact, he looks for them. A sign of intelligence is intelligent people look for new ideas. They're open to them. Now let me ask you the question. Who can you learn from? Can you learn from somebody who's younger than you are? You can if you have the right attitude. Can you learn from somebody who's less educated than you? You can if you have the right attitude. Can you learn from somebody who's a different nationality? Absolutely you can. But the question is, are you open? You know, we learn from different religions. And we can. We need to be open. Not that we need to be swayed by that, but that we understand where that person is coming from and meet them where they are and tell them about Jesus. Openness to say, I can learn from anybody. I can learn at any place. I can learn at any time. And asking yourself the question, will I keep mentally fit the rest of my life? You can learn from anybody. You know, I've noticed that openness is a problem as I get older. And maybe that's a problem for you too. But I came across this book that was entitled 60 Excuses for a Closed Mind. Here's some of those. I'm not going to read all 60 of them, but here's some you may have heard before. The first one is, we tried that before. Or our place is different. Or it costs too much. Or we don't have the time. Or we've never done it that way before. Or it's against company policy. Or that's not our problem. Or here's one, you're right, but we're not ready for that. It isn't in the budget. We need to form a committee. Let's sleep on it. Some of these may be hitting home just a little bit too much. Or it's too much trouble to change. Or it's impossible. Or we've always done it that way. Excuses. Those are excuses for a closed mind. you and I can learn from anybody, from everybody, if we have an attitude of openness. And then the second attitude that is vital, if my mind is going to continue to grow, and I need to have the attitude of humility. Humility. Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. If you want to be mentally sharp, you have to have a humble attitude that says, well, I don't know it all. I don't know it all. And one of the major roadblocks to learning is the attitude, well, I've got it all together. I've arrived. I know it all. Pride is a stumbling block to learning. I read where Winston Churchill said one time, I love to learn, but I hate to be taught. Ego gets in the way so many times. I love to learn if I don't have to have somebody pretending like they know more than I do. Did you ever talk to a three-year-old? Anybody ever talk to a three-year-old or a four-year-old? You ever notice that the number one response to most situations, probably every situation, is always, why? Why? They want to know why. Why did that happen? Why does everything, why? Children, that's why they learn so much. They're not afraid to ask that question. They're humble. They know they don't know it all. And so they're inquisitive. They're alert. They love to learn. And Jesus said, unless you become as children, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Children have that attitude of curiosity and humility. And as I get older, as we get older, we get worried as adults. And we're worried about it. Well, I'm going to appear dumb if I ask the question, why? And some of us adults, we'd rather appear dumb than to learn. And when you were in school, I remember back when I was in school, I had a question or I knew the answer, but I was afraid it might be the wrong answer. And I never raised my hand. I wouldn't ask a question or I wouldn't give the answer because I was afraid that I looked like I was dumb. And it happens in Bible study. You may be in a Bible study and say, I really don't understand this verse, or I really don't know who Nebuchadnezzar is. But I don't want to ask I don't want to raise my hand and ask because what will other people think of me? But to grow in life, I have got to have the attitude of openness and I have to have an attitude of humility. And I've heard people say, this experience I've been through is very humbling, but I learned a lot from it. That's it. Whenever we're humbled, we always learn. The Bible says, with humility comes wisdom. And then this third attitude is, I need some fire. You and I, we just need some fire when it comes to learning. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23, here's where we get the fire. Whatever you do, do it heartily. That means with all your heart, with all your being, with everything that is within you, as if you are doing it for the Lord, because really you are, and not as to men. When you have a task, something you're going to do, put your mind to it. Be enthusiastic about it. You know, I think back in school, the classes that I did the best in were the classes that I was the most enthusiastic about. And that was probably true for you as well. And where I participated when I wasn't just a spectator. And we just don't sit on the sidelines, but we get involved and we learn fast and more when we're enthusiastic. If you want to be mentally fit, wake up in the morning with attitude, Lord, thank you for this new day. Lord, I praise you for this new day. But Lord, teach me something new today. Have that kind of an attitude. Pay attention to your thoughts is the first thing. The second thing is to never stop growing your mind. Now, here are some useful recommendations to stay mentally sharp. See, these are some recommendations because I can't make you do this. But I just believe this is from the Word of God. Number one is you need to plan some think time each week. And that is where you sit down and you get alone and you get quiet and think. Don't take anything to read. Don't talk. Don't take your radio with you. Don't take your iPod with you. Whatever you listen to music with, don't watch television, you just think. You know, nothing is easier than thinking, but nothing is more difficult than serious thinking. And nothing is more rewarding as thinking under the power of the Holy Spirit of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet lives. A lot of times it's just too noisy around us for us to think. Or we're just too busy with life. And we say things like, well, I don't have time to think. Have you ever thought about that? When we say, I just don't have time to think. Well, you're thinking. But you're not thinking seriously. And really, in essence, and we've preached this sermon series before, if you are breathing, you're a leader. You're influencing someone. But especially if you are a leader, if you're the leader in your home, if you're a leader in your business, if you have that responsibility, you ought to be spending a minimum of 10% of your time thinking about your job. Not working at it, but thinking about it. How can I do it better? Ways to improve it. Somebody said that 5% of our world, just 5% of our world, really think in a serious kind of way. 20% of the world think. They think. 75% of the people in the world would rather die than think. They want all their thinking done for them. People say, well, I'm just not a creative person. Well, yes, you are. You're created in the image of God. You just don't know it. You have tremendous potential and tremendous abilities. Everybody is a creative person. Everybody has a creative thought every now and then. It's just that we don't cultivate those creative thoughts. You can cultivate that. Howard Hendricks has a friend. Howard Hendricks is somebody we mentioned a couple of weeks ago. He's a professor at Dallas Seminary, and he's a well-known speaker, and it's just fun to listen to him preach. But Howard Hendricks has a friend who's a brain surgeon in Dallas, and he asked that brain surgeon, in 20 years of brain surgery, have you ever seen an overused brain? The surgeon said, no, but I've seen a lot of underused brains. Most of us just barely tap the potential that God has given. We never take time to sit down and think. Second thing I want you to write down is establish a personal reading plan. When was the last time you read a book? When was the last time you visited a library or a bookstore? Paul did this, 2 Timothy chapter 4, on his deathbed, on death row. Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, Timothy, please don't forget the books and especially the parchments. Paul said, I want to study. I need them. Paul was making the most of his time. He was a bookaholic, and he had a reading plan, and that's what we need. We need to have balance. You can literally read yourself out of a rut. You can read yourself out of a rut if you read the right things, and what we need to put in our homes is Christian literature and Christian books and magazines and articles and things like that. I read a statistic recently that said Americans spend more money on beer than on books. No wonder our stomachs are bigger than our brains. It's what we feed them. And then the third recommendation is to associate with wise people. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. He who walks with the wise will be wise. There's power in association. And you cannot fly with the eagles if you insist upon running with the turkeys all the time. You got to get next to people who are godly people, who are wise about the things of God. Get around people that you want to be like, who know about the things that you want to know about. And if you want to know about the Christian life, you need to get around godly Christians who've been there for a long time. And if you want to know about the skill that you need in your business, get around people who've been there. Find out. Spend time with them. The Bible says it's wise to learn from the wise. And it's wise to learn from the experience, from your own experience. And sometimes when we don't, we're destined to experience that again so that we'll learn it again. But it's even wiser if you and I can learn from the experience of others. Because I don't have time to make all the mistakes. I make a lot of mistakes, but I don't have time to make all of them. I need to learn from you, and you need to learn from me. We need to learn from each other. Associate with wise people. Proverbs 23:19. He who listens will be wise. Plan some think time. Establish a reading plan. Associate with wise people. And fourth, be willing to ask questions. Proverbs 20 and verse 5. What a tremendous verse. It talks about the importance of asking questions. It says, the purposes of a man's heart are deep water. I mean, you ever talk to somebody and it's just one word answers? It's deep water. I mean, it's there, but it's just deep water. But a man of understanding, a person of understanding, draws them out. In the heart of everybody, there's something that you and I can learn. There are some insights that you can use because we've all had different experiences. And a lot of times, they're not there on the surface. You just have to draw them out. It's like deep water. It's like drawing water out of a well. Now, how do you draw people out? How do you draw the insights you could use out of people? You ask questions and you learn the questions to ask. It's a wise thing. Draw it out of people. You ask them things like, what's your greatest success in life? Somebody that you want to learn from. What's your greatest success? What was your greatest failure in life? You know, everybody that is a success have had more failures than they have success. We learn from our failures. And so, what was your greatest failure? How could I learn from that? How do you manage your home? What are some things you do with your kids? What are the books that have changed your life? Who are the people who have influenced your life? How do you plan your time? How do you relax? Make up some questions so that when you get around wise people, you can ask them those questions. Number five. And here's what you're doing right now. Some of you are doing. I can see you doing this. But put down on paper your fresh insights. Maybe you're not getting any fresh insights this morning. Maybe that's not why you're not writing. But Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. We must pay careful attention to what we hear so we don't let it slip. So we don't let it drift away. The problem is, we don't remember things. And we were talking about this morning, right before choir practice this morning. Every person here, all of us have tremendous ideas. You've got tremendous ideas. I've got tremendous ideas. You've had them throughout your life. But we've let most of those tremendous ideas drift away. Why? Because we didn't write them down. Successful people know how to write them down, and they know how to manage those ideas. They take advantage of them. Now, how does this apply to your spiritual life? As a Christian, your spiritual life, you know, it goes up and down. Probably yours is like mine. It goes up and down. And you get up on that mountaintop and you just rejoicing and having a wonderful time in the Lord and just victory in Jesus. But then you get back down in the valley at times and you're up and down. You get real close to God and you backslide away from God. Maybe you feel like a spiritual yo-yo. Vance Havner, Another evangelist of really the past century, called those type of Christians malaria Christians. You get a fever, then a chill. You get a fever, then a chill. And finally you get seasick and think, Lord, I'll just live down here in the valley if I can't stay close to you. Now what's the problem? A lot of people will say, well, I'm just not dedicated enough. That's why I just can't stay close to the Lord. I'm just not dedicated enough. I want to tell you, I don't believe it's so much a problem of dedication. I think it's a problem of retention. I forget the commitment I've made to the Lord. And I forget what He said to me because I don't write it down. And as a result, I don't apply it. You know, how many of you would say, and you don't have to raise your hand on this, but how many of you would say, I've had God teach me a lesson more than once because I forgot it. I got to raise my hand. Yeah. I wish I'd have written that down so I wouldn't have to learn it all over again because those lessons can be hard to learn. And I've discovered that it's a matter of retention. It's the fact that we just don't remember the things that we learn because we don't write them down. And I've given you this statistic or this study before. The U.S. Air Force did a study some time ago, and they discovered that we forget 90 to 95% of everything we hear within 72 hours. Now, I want you to know that is a depressing statistic for pastors. Because I work kind of hard on these insights and truths from the Word of God, and I want to put them together in the form here in the outline so that you can keep that. And by the way, when you come to class 101, if you don't have a notebook that you can put these in, it's because you haven't come to class 101, Discovering Church Membership. And here's a little advertisement. We're going to have that class next Sunday. You probably read about it in the bulletin. Some of you got personal invitations from me. Now, I'm giving the rest of you a personal invitation right now. Next Sunday after church, we're going to give you a little light lunch. We're going to feed you something and then give you that class and put you through it. But we're also going to give you a notebook that these sermon notes that you take week after week and you don't know what to do with them, you can start putting them in that notebook. And let me go beyond that. What I have suggested that you do with those is keep those in that notebook, because you're going to forget 90 to 95% by Wednesday. But if you've got it written down, you can use it. And I had a lady tell me last night that last Sunday night's message really spoke to her heart. And she said, on Monday morning, I got up to do my quiet time, and it was about hope. And I got my sermon notes out. That's what I want you to do with those. I want you to use them in your quiet time. I want God to speak to you through those verses that we've got there. And that's why we need to write them down, because we do not retain most of what we hear. The sixth thing, make the most of every chance you get to learn. You know, there are times that you're driving to and from work. Maybe you've got a long commute. Maybe you've got a short commute. Maybe you're waiting for a hamburger there or whatever it is. Or you're waiting in the waiting room at the doctor. Or you're waiting on your spouse at wherever. You could have some cards in your pocket or in your pocketbook where you've written out verses. You could memorize a verse. You could take a pocket Bible. Some of these phones have the Bible on them. I've got a phone in my pocket right now. It's got the Bible on it. So I just get that out. It'll read it to me if I want it to. And I kind of like that, because they read it a little better than I do, because I have a tendency to read fast. But you can do things like that. If you're sitting in an office, carry something like that, your Bible, or carry a book, a good book that you're reading. Use those spare moments. Listen to things in your car. Now, if you've got a CD player, use that. Or iPod is a thing now. You can go on, I go on iTunes, and I don't download tunes. I download sermons. And I listen to those sermons. And they help me, and I learn. And I used to, when my tape player worked in my car, I still got tapes. I used to be a tapeworm. You know, first they were bookworms, then there's tapeworms, now we're podworms. But, you know, use that time. My car was a Roland College class. You know, I took courses like word power and psychology and how to be a positive influence and all kinds of Bible studies right there in my car. And every time I'd get in my car, it was ready to go. And if you do that, automatically you can use that to inspire you, to motivate you, to train you. Take advantage of the time when you're waiting, or don't just sit back. Don't just come home at night, flip on the television, put your mind in neutral and listen to the television. I came across this poem. It's an old poem, but it's called The New 23rd Psalm. The TV is my shepherd. My spiritual growth shall want. It makes me to sit down and do nothing for his name's sake, because it presenteth so many good shows I must see. It restores my knowledge of the things of the world and keeps me from studying God's word. It leads me in the paths of failing to attend worship service and doing nothing for the kingdom of God. Yea, though I live to be 100, I shall keep on viewing my TV, as long as it'll work, for it is my closest companion. Its sound and its pictures, they comfort me. It presenteth entertainment before me and keepeth me from doing important things with my family. It fills my head with ideas which are contrary to God's word. And surely no good thing will come of my life, because my TV causeth me to backslide, and I shall be ashamed before him at his coming. It used to be that we would say, you are what you eat. Now it's, you are what you watch. You know, just think about this. If I came over to your house tonight and I said, I want to get your whole family together in the living room. Let's all get together in the living room. And I want to entertain you. I want to tell you about 5 murders that I heard about. 3 rapes. a case of incest and all kinds of violence. Wouldn't that be an entertaining evening? Be the last time you'd invite your pastor over. But yet what we do is we gather in the living room and we get that little box. And that's what that little box, we call that entertainment. And when God gave us our minds, He gave us one of the greatest gifts. And you and I are responsible to use it and develop it and keep it sharp. And you've never touched the capacity of your life, of your mind. It is limitless, literally, in what you can do if you'll simply begin to use it, develop it, and begin to think. You can develop creativity. One last warning. One last warning. You can overdo intellectual pursuit. Sure you can. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7 is talking about people who learn and learn but never come to know God. That's when you've overdone it. They never make that commitment to Jesus Christ. That verse says these people are always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. What a tragedy. The greatest knowledge that you can develop, the greatest knowledge that you can have is to come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Paul said, I want to know Jesus. I want to know Him, and I want to know Jesus in the power of His resurrection. That's the important thing. It's the most important thing to know. And when we invite Jesus Christ into our lives and we pray a prayer, something like this, Lord, come into my heart. What does that mean? Does that mean that Jesus literally comes inside of this heart, this literal heart? No, that's not what that means. It means, Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my life. Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my spirit. And Lord, I want your spirit. I want you to put your spirit into my spirit and make it come alive. And when the Holy Spirit, His spirit, joins my spirit, there is eternal life. And when he does that, He comes into our minds and he begins to direct our thoughts. When we get a thought from God, we call that inspiration. How much are you inspired in your thought life? How many inspirational thoughts and ideas do you get? And some of you have allowed over the years all kinds of material into your mind and things from magazines and books and shows and billboards and all kinds of things. And your mind has literally been a freeway and all things have come zooming through it. As a result, you're having problems with a habitual pattern of thinking. You just can't get a thought out of your mind. Maybe it is a worry. Maybe you're a habitual worrier. Maybe it's anger and you tend to be an angry person. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's jealousy. Maybe it's bitterness. They've done a lot of studies that show the more television you watch, the more fearful you become. TV produces a fearful society. Maybe it's guilt that you're dealing with. How do you change? How do you pay attention to your thought life? It is to let God brainwash you. Let God brainwash you. Let Him do a washing of regeneration. Let God wash out the garbage and let God give you a clean slate to start all over again. Romans chapter 2 says, let God remold your mind from within. And Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 says, let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus. Put on the mind of Christ. And some of you are under a lot of stress right now and you think you're cracking up. You think you're going crazy. You're not balanced. You're imbalanced. And 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. You have a right as a Christian, as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, to have a sound mind. Give your life to Jesus Christ. Come back to Jesus Christ. Give Him your mind, your body, your will, your soul, your everything, and begin to develop your thought life in the way Jesus designed it to be developed and the way He wants it to be developed. I'm going to ask you to stand and those who are going to be praying at the altar to come and begin to pray, or maybe you're going to come and be seated on the front row, but begin to pray. Sunday school class is going to come, and maybe there are others, you want to join them in prayer, you come right now and begin to pray during this invitation time. And I want to just say to you, whether you're a believer or whether you've never come to that place in your life and you're not quite sure that you're a believer, would you just say something like this to the Lord? You can say it in your mind. You can say it out loud if you want to. It might scare some folks around you, but that's all right. We're talking about eternal things right now. But even if you don't say it out loud and you say it in your mind, God will hear it. And just say something like this: God, I want to give my mind to you. I want you to take it and develop it into what you created it to be. I want to reach that potential that you have for me. And God, just say this to God: God, remold my mind. Remold it from within. Wash my mind clean. Get those pollution type thoughts out, Lord. Wash them away. And let me start afresh and anew. Maybe God's been speaking to your heart about coming to Big Spring and being a part of the church family here, and you want to come this morning. In an official way, just say, I'm a believer, I've been baptized, but I just believe God is calling me to be a part of this church family. You come as we sing together.